you do enough research on the Thinker Be Beaten website, and you go to James Montgomery, and you read the research he put together, and another man who goes by The Informer, called The Informer. And then there's a third one who's Eric the Blacksmith, and he actually has audio excerpts where they're reading from the Anti-Federalist Papers. And then they go into a lot of historical research, and Eric the Blacksmith has discussions with the guy who has the website, whose name is Keith Hansen, but he goes by Visigoth. Well, he goes by Al now because he redid the website. It used to be Thinker Be Eaten. Now it's Thinker Be Beaten. But it's a good website, and I know Bruce doesn't have any access to this. So I can understand why he's not hearing it, but we don't have a solution in this world. The Canaanites who lie and call themselves Jews are not giving the gold back. They're not going to be deterred from having their one world government, because that's a lot of the book of Revelation. It's going to happen. But what's going to happen is what God said in the prophecies. What's going to happen? They're not going to get their republic back, and if Bruce could get to this site or have the internet, he could do the research and see it really didn't apply to any of us common people in the first place. It was to them, their aristocracy. And these men who wrote the Federalist Papers, and they have links where you can read them too on the same Think or Be Beaten site, and they are eloquent, and they understood exactly what was going to happen, that the Constitution was the source of despotism, tyranny, a colossus. And there was so much anger and hatred against it after it got enacted, and I've said it before, but there's a lot of people who are trying to stand up and looking for solutions, but Christ is our solution, building the church, and it's our only one. And God in His mercy made it that way, because most of us would be working full-time doing something political instead of doing most of our time and learning the Word, spending most of our time building the church and learning the Word. But the point I want to make on this is that it comes up over and over again. And they say, well, you know, we're safe and we're Christians and I know I'm saved. And they're usually in a church that hasn't even taught them the milk of the Bible. And they say, we know that God's in charge. And I say, but yes, He's in charge when He's also cursing His children and bringing judgment on them. And that's what I mean, is judgments are in all the earth. We have these rulers over there, not that they did an end run around God, but God's given us, well, He's already, it's past tense, we're already given over to a one-world government run chiefly by the Edomites. And I got to tell you, it wasn't any different. You got to go back to the Bank of England, 1694. So you got about, 82 years before we have a Declaration of Independence. But what's a Declaration of Independence? A group of men who just say, this is what we said, is that a law? I mean, they were British subjects, the British colony. They make such a big deal out of it, but I'm just on this worldly side, because I'm a little, my voice is, and again, I'm a little bit, still trying to figure my way through how to be, you know, how to get these recordings up in a way that flows and what exactly to talk about, but that was my plan, just to do a little bit of the covenant for the first 20 minutes, half hour, and then go on to some other things about teaching the law. But this is on this site, Think or Be Beaten, and you can click near the top on readings, and then it'll say James Montgomery. You click on that. There's three different sections. Well, there's more than three, but there's three basic things to click on. The one that has the flag that looks like a combination of Britain and the British flag and the American flag. And it has a whole bunch of, I mean, this is massive reading just on this one page. There's so many things to click on, and they're long. But I just clicked on the first part of his third series down. It's called America's Still a British Colony. And we go down here almost halfway, and he's got in the appendices, he's got the actual Paris Peace Treaty, 1783. And this is why they didn't tell us any of these things, but I'm just going to read the introduction. And I read this to Bruce, he didn't really say much about it, but it says, this peace treaty is dictated by the King of England, King George III. Yeah, they had three negotiators, and they had John Jay John Adams and Benjamin Franklin, and we'll get to that in a minute, but just the way it starts off, listen to this.
Give me a little.
Being pleased the divine providence to dispose the hearts of the most serene and most potent Prince George III, by the grace of God, King of Great Britain, grant.
Sorry.
Hearing noises. Somebody. I didn't know if someone was trying to ask a question or.
No, I'm sorry. Something happened at the kitchen table.
Well, Prince George III, by the grace of God, King of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, Defender of the Faith, Duke of Brunswick and Lüneburg, Arch-Treasurer and Prince-Elector of the Holy Roman Empire, etc., and of the United States of America. The King of England is the Arch-Treasurer of the United States of America. And he mentions the Holy Roman Empire, and it's Daniel 2. I wouldn't call it holy, but the Roman Empire doesn't end until the consummation, the second coming of Christ. I mean, it's clear. A stone cut out of the mountain, you know, without hands, that's Christ coming. And Rome lasts all the way to the end. So what we really have in Revelation is other layers. When we have these kings, and that's why I suggest you go back, and it's up there, there's a link to another Chris White documentary. He did a good job on why Daniel 7 is not Daniel 2. Whole different set of circumstances. But I won't go into too much detail on that, but he goes on, and he says, to forget all past misunderstandings and differences that have unhappily interrupted the good correspondence and friendship which they mutually wish to restore. And he goes on and on about peace and harmony. And then you go down, you have to scroll down quite a ways. This is where, in this first part, it's like introduction to the treaty, and it says, Great Britain and France having since been concluded, the treaty between Great Britain and France having since been concluded, His Britannic Majesty and the United States of America, in order to carry into full effect the provisional articles above mentioned, according to the tenor thereof, have constituted and appointed, that is to say, His Britannic Majesty on his part, David Hartley, Esquire. So his representative in this treaty, the representative for the king, is David Hartley, and he's Esquire. And as member of the Parliament of Great Britain and the said United States on their part, John Adams, Esquire, late the Commissioner of the United States of America at the Court of Versailles, late Delegate of Congress from the state of Massachusetts, and Chief Justice of the said state, and Minister Plenipotentiary of the said United States to their High Mightiness, the States General of the United Netherlands. And he puts semicolon. That says, Benjamin Franklin, Esquire, late Delegate in Congress from the state of Pennsylvania, President of the Convention of the said state and Minister Plenipotentiary from the United States of America at the Court of Versailles, semicolon, and then John Jay, one of the richest men in America, Esquire. In other words, they're all working for the same party. They get their title, and I think it's Black's defines, Esquire is above a gentleman but below a knight, the title of nobility. This all comes from that mysterious city of London, or the Crown Temple, or Crown Templar, where the Templars went after they got expelled from France. They went to Scotland and they came down to England. That's where we get our attorneys from a meeting way back in 1355, where the Knights Templars became the attorneys. I mean, this all goes way back, and this is only 1/1,000,000,000, just the treaty alone. You got to get into all the other documents, the charters, the companies like East India Trade Company. Even Benjamin Franklin's listed on the Rosicrucian official website as being a Rosicrucian. He was a Grand Master in Freemasonry, and as a Grand Master in America, he had a lodge in London, and he had a lodge in France. And that was the Grand Orient, where apparently, the Illuminati, after they got driven underground and expelled from Bavaria, it was pretty much set up in France under the Grand Orient. So he was a member of the Hellfire Club. I mean, these were men who were as far from Christian as you can be. And, you know, Thomas Jefferson wanted the French Revolution. Thomas Paine wrote in support he had to flee. flee England. He was going to get arrested. He went to France. He did get arrested there for a little while under Robespierre, but these men thought the French Revolution was great, Jefferson and Thomas Paine. And then you can go back and look up and do that John Locke and do the bio. I mean, the guy was just a complete humanist, Enlightenment philosophy. And they all were followers of John Locke. And it goes on and on, but you know, they had titles of nobility, but they didn't really tell people that. John Jay went to negotiate another treaty because England was still basically seizing cargo ships, taking the cargo. They were pressing men. They were putting men into the British, naval service. And he goes over there to try to get it stopped, and they didn't. The people of the states under the newly ratified constitution, they were outraged. They hated him. They stoned him. Somebody hit him with a rock so big they thought he was dead. It opened up his head. He even said himself, paraphrasing, words of the fact, he said, I can travel this entire country by the light of the fires burning me in effigy. They were, they really... And if you get into the Anti-Federalist Papers, you're going to see their reasoning, and they were right on the money. They knew the Commerce Clause, they knew the Supreme Court, and they knew that this was not going to be good, and that it would lead eventually to a revolution, a civil war in America. And the power would be just uncontainable, and so it goes on and on. But my point is, Bruce, that we don't have a worldly solution. We're going to come to a time of great tribulation, just like Jesus told us in Matthew 24. And that time of great tribulation is going to be followed immediately by the second coming of Christ. And so you can go down and read these articles, but basically what they did is they retained ownership to the mineral rights, which means they still own the land, and they had the basis for taxation to repay the debt. They made it obligated. So if we won the war, why are we paying England's war debt? And all these questions they ask, and James Montgomery's got many interesting articles, and he's got the email correspondence in 25 parts, if you want to take the time to do all this. But that's what Patriot Radio's built on. We the people. No, it wasn't we the people. They capitalized people. That changes the meaning of it. Doesn't mean all the people. It means certain people. Whatever now. It's a highly sophisticated document that's filled with ambiguities. It's filled with, unlimited powers written right in there. Here, I'll give you an example. I've got this. And by the way, you can't trust any of these things. John Birch Society. This one's the Rutherford Institution. They put out the Pocket Constitution. And, if you go into this and you really want to settle it in your own mind about all the intrigues and the things behind the Constitution, this particular version lays it out. Let me see if I can find it. There's a section right in here where they have a heading and they have landmark U.S. Supreme Court cases. And they say, okay, Chisholm versus Georgia, way back in 1793. States fall under the jurisdiction of the Supreme Court, limiting the scope of the state sovereignty. Marbury versus Madison, 1803. The doctrine of judicial review allows the Supreme Court and other federal courts to interpret the Constitution, the supreme law of the land. Or the Constitution and the treaties. And that's another thing the Anti-Federalists hated. Now they leave out McCulloch versus Maryland in 1819, and that's the implied powers, or that became written in stone. Implied powers. So all their 10th Amendment, enumerated powers and all that, it was hooey from the beginning. They had the power to get around that one from the beginning. It was all smoke and mirrors and a fraud because they were protecting their own wealth and they were working for the money lenders to the monarchy of England. The bankers, the Canaanite bankers that set up the Bank of England. The Federal Reserve's just an extension of it. And then they have their Inns of Court, and they have Lincoln's Inn and Gray's Inn. And the Rothschild agent, Alexander Hamilton, was taken from his native home in St. Croix, age 15, and he was educated. In 6 months, he got a law degree. I think that was through Lincoln's Inn. One of the Inns of Court. And then they've got the Middle Temple and the Inner Temple. And Middle Temple's, that's where our taxation in our supposed independent country of America comes from. The taxation comes from Middle Temple in the City of London, which is a country within a country. It's got its own sovereignty. The Queen of England has to get permission to go there and has to walk behind the Lord Mayor. You see, the servant, the borrower is the servant of the lender. So the bank had control of England long before we have this put together idea of having a revolution, which King George benefits pretty well from it, because now he doesn't have to spend any more money supporting the colonies. And yet he still has the taxation on all the minerals. He gets a certain percentage of the minerals that are mined. And he also has the control over taxation. So debts are always going to be repaid. And that's how these Rothschilds and the other group in the cabal, the Schiffs, Warburgs, and all that, they realized that making loans to private people with risk and all that, well, better to loan to the governments. That way they're sure to get repaid, because, and all they really want is the interest, because once it gets so high, the interest gets so high, they just want to keep us in perpetual bondage. But the government's just going to tax the people, so they get guaranteed loan repayment. That's how Esau broke the yoke off Jacob. And our founding fathers, you know, there's just so many more parts to the story that Bruce's understanding of the events, he's not going to be able to do it unless he gets online. And it's many, you're talking about many hundreds of hours to get all the relationships between the East India Trade Company, the Crown Temple, how Freemasonry was working, what these people really believed. Thomas Jefferson published his beliefs. He's not Christian. He hated the Bible. He published his own Bible in England because he didn't want anybody to know he was doing it.
We're starting to get a lot of static on the line.
Okay, I just wanted to say a little bit about that, because our hope is not in, you know, this republic being restored or saying, we're going to the end times here.